was a wonderful song and message and song. It's good to have visitors with us tonight. If you're visiting for the first time with us, we're grateful to have you with us tonight. And we will continue our studies through the book of Mark. We're in Mark chapter 15. I hope you find yourself at home and you come back and visit with us again. Be glad to have you back at any of our services. I'm thankful that you chose to worship with us tonight. Have Brother Paulson and his wife back again tonight from North Dakota. I'll be in prayer for them as they travel back. Be in prayer for their church as they're down here. Don't forget, there's the calendar here, over here on this here. Welcome to take as many as you want, offer them to your friends. Take them. They're was given to us by the Osceola Memory Gardens. What a blessing they have been to our church. Every Easter, they give us Easter lilies, and every Christmas, they give us poinsettias, and also these calendars every year. We've got the church name and stuff. Beautiful calendar, well done. So we appreciate their help to us. Really do. That's a blessing there. Take as many as you want to pass them out. Let them be used for the glory of God. Be in prayer for the group up in Canada that I just went to visit with. In prayer, God's will be done in that. We need to really be praying and bathing those folks in prayer that God would get the glory and all that up there. Had a good visit with them. It was very productive, very encouraging for them. I think some of the folks here would understand how discouraged you became sometimes when you didn't have a pastor. You know, there's a lot of churches. We were still praying for several around the states that don't have a pastor. So it's a difficult time for a church like that. So be in prayer for the situation there, that God's glory will be done. They will be they'll be cared for sure, in that matter. Oh, a little information about the road project. They're already offered several up above us offers, their first offer. So it's coming along, it's moving. Tim Wicker up the road said they told him that they want to start construction by October, so they've got to get busy. So that's where we stand. Later on, the 1st of February, we're going to meet with the deacons and I, meet with the experts on the traffic control and things of that nature. So just a little update on that, where we are on that. Thank you, folks, for helping the Honduras team. That was a blessing. There with the spaghetti dinner, the sale of the spaghetti, and some even purchased or donated and didn't even want a plate. So thank you for that. The Honduras team will be leaving March 17th and coming back on the 22nd, spending time with Brother Chase. Brother Chase is actually leaving the end of this month. Y'all be in prayer for him as he goes down there. We do appreciate all Brother Chase does for us here in the printing ministry. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Don't forget the men's retreats that's coming up and the ladies' retreat. Sign up and information's on that bulletin board. If you can make it, or if you're not sure, now you're far enough out, you can talk with your employer and see if you can get those days off, if you can readjust your schedule. But you're far enough off now to not be a much of a hassle. Maybe they'll say yes, we'd love to have you come. Every time I've gone, it's been a true blessing to me. We'll be in verse number 33. Even beyond the preaching of the Word of God, the fellowship that I've enjoyed with the men as we've been away just alone. So we'd love to have any of you come that can, and we'd be glad to have you come along with us. And I think you'll really enjoy yourself. Let's read from verse 33 down to, I think, around 41. 33 to 41 tonight. If we get past 41 tonight, well, that'd be fine. But we'll pick up reading again there. But let's start in Mark chapter 15, And verse number 33. The Bible says, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the less, and Joseph Salome, verse 41, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him, ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. We're moving on to the sixth hour. Now the sixth hour of the day on the Jewish day would have been 12 noon our time. That's how it was working. So it went to third hour, now 6 hours, 12 hour. And the 3 hours here that we have one verse covering all of those hours. And when the sixth hour was come, it said there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. So 3 hours of total darkness there. It kind of, someone said, and I don't know if this is true or not, but they said that the Passover was held always on a full moon. So the Passover come around, and that's whenever they would have, it'd be a full moon. And so this could not have been some sort of eclipse. Somebody tried to discredit it and say it was just an eclipse, you know, the sun over the moon. But supposedly, according to the one author there, it said that it was always held, the Passover was always held on at a full moon. So it'd probably be a little bit difficult to have a total eclipse with a full moon. I'm not an astrologist, or a moon watcher. I'm just giving you what I read. Whether that's true or not, I'm not sure. But what it reminded me of was kind of like in the Old Testament when the nation of Israel was fixing to be let go out of Egypt, and God said, this is it, I've had enough. We've done had all these plagues and Pharaoh's not listening. So tonight at midnight, what happened at midnight? You had to put the blood on one side of the doorpost, blood on the other side, blood, the death angel came through, passed over through at midnight, and the firstborn died. So I thought, you know, perhaps, maybe, not sure, God's simulating that truth there. I do know this, that it was merciful of God during this time to maybe even cast a shadow over the nakedness of His Son who lay hung there on that cross for our sins. And in His shame, maybe the darkness came about, and as the darkness moved over, it was just to, you know, just to kind of put a little darkness there over His Son in the mercy. Just a minute, He's fixing to forsake Him. He's fixing to turn His back, and He's not able to, you know, to do that. We do know that Jesus is the light of the world, and it was a dark moment. So there's many different things we can think about. This one fact we do know, for 3 hours, darkness overshadowed the earth. And for whatever reason it was, and for whatever thing that we can think about to come up to try to explain it away, or explain that it did happen, or why it happened, you know, I'm not sure about that, but I think about that, and I think about how love covers a multitude of sin. And I tell you, according to Isaiah 53, our sins was upon His body. He bore our sins, and maybe that was just the love of God, just saying, look, hey, angels, you're not going to see this. I don't know. I can't explain. You know, angels are not going to look upon this here thing right now. I don't know, maybe the great cloud of witnesses up there was, you know, looking down, had enjoyed heaven, you know, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, you know, verses 1, where it compassed about a great cloud of witness. Maybe God just put a darkness over and said, hey, you're not going to be able to witness this right now. Not sure what's going on, what happened, but I do know it was a time of darkness, and it stayed there for 3 hours there, and then we moved over to the ninth hour in verse number 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did the Father forsook him? And, you know, why was that? Flip over to Psalms 22, if you will. Hold your place there, because, you know, we're coming back to Mark. Psalms chapter number 22, there in the Old Testament. You know, the book of Psalms, in chapter 22, especially in other ones, point a lot of what would happen on the cross and tell us a lot what would happen. Psalms 22 and verse number 1. Remember this morning I told you Jesus said the scriptures must be fulfilled. Psalms 22:1. The Bible says here in this very chapter, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? We know that this was prophesied, so it was something that was going to take place, and it had to take place there. Flip back over, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Back in the New Testament, if you look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24. The scripture says here, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Also look at 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21. The scripture says this, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And this is what happened. The sins of the world were placed upon him. And God being holy and God being righteous in the way that he is, that whenever it was laid upon Christ, the darkness of the situation, the darkness of the hour overtook everything. And then God turned his back and as it was upon him, and it forsook even to look at him. Can you imagine just for a moment the heartache? I try to tell our children this, you know, and try to help them to understand this. And think about like the relationships and stuff that you're in, and giving away your heart, and then sometimes things happen. One moves off, one moves on, and then the forsaking there and the heartache that takes place there. That don't even amount to a little thimbleful of what just took place, what we just read. I mean, just not even, it doesn't even match what happens there. You know, and that we've had folks that have been part of our church for a little while and then move off and be, you know, in another state, and that void of missing, you know. And we've had others that, you know, got upset, got mad, and left. And boy, I tell you, it just seems like, man, you feel down. You're like, why? You know, what happened there? I wish that wouldn't have happened. And I miss that fellowship and miss growing in grace with them and whatnot. But that doesn't compare to what we're reading here, how God the Father and Jesus, being in the perfect will of God, understood what was taking place. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried as it was, great drops and sweats of blood would be present upon him, and he cried, let this cup pass from me. I wonder if it was actually this portion where God the Father would completely turn away from that. That's what he's praying for during that time and during this hour there. But as it was that night, In Egypt, back over in Exodus chapter 12, you don't have to turn there, but when the death angel passed through, the wailing is when maybe the moment that he would give up the ghost was coming. It's fixing to be here. It's almost here. Right? So maybe that's the moment that he couldn't bear that that he wanted, you know, hey, come up off the cross. But for our sakes, he left his son there, and he cried, and Jesus cried out. And well, they missed the cry. They thought he's calling for Elias. You know why they thought he's calling for Elias? Remember last week when we were studying how they mocked and made fun of him? You can't save yourself. Uh-oh. They had read the stories of Elijah. They had read all the stories of and the things that that happened. They said, maybe Elijah's going to come and, you know, take him down off that cross. Leave him alone. Let him be there. But as Jesus was getting close to that moment and getting close to that spot where he would finally give up the ghost, and the payment there on the cross of Calvary would be given over and be paid for. If you go back to Mark chapter number 15 and you look over here as we begin to read in verse number 35, and some of them that stood by when they heard it said, behold, he called Elias, and one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let him alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. Now look up, if you would, at another portion as we get here, according to the gospel, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, listen to what the Bible says here about lost people. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3. The Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let him alone. They didn't understand salvation. They didn't understand what was going on. Let him see if Elijah will come and take him down. See if that's going to take place. It couldn't take place. He had a job to do, and he must do it. And the God of this world, devil himself, has been blinding people since the very beginning as he could. Look over in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse number 19. John 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse number 19. John 3 and verse number 19. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, talking about Jesus, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Look at John chapter 12, verse number 35. John chapter 12, verse number 35. John 12, Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, verse 36, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. And this darkness overshadowed and came, and man, they grabbed up that, they thought he's calling for Elijah. They grabbed up the vinegar, and they put it on the staff, and they put it up into his mouth, and as they mocked him, leave him alone, let's see, and see if he comes. Look over in Psalms chapter number 69. Psalms chapter 69. You'll see the prophecy of the vinegar and the gall that was put to his lips. Psalm 69, verse number 21. Psalms chapter 69, verse number 21. The Bible says, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. And there's another scripture there that was fulfilled in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We already read earlier about the vinegar and last week, and then now the gall as they put it there to his lips and tried, you know, to, I don't know, subdue. Maybe they thought they was being kind. Maybe, you know, to give him something that would subdue the pain and suffering. But he had to go fully through the entirety of everything that was to happen to him, so that it would be a complete and 100% satisfactory sacrifice, that God would be well pleased. That's what it says in Isaiah 53, that God was pleased with the transgression, the agony and the pain that he suffered for our transgressions and for our iniquities. And so God was pleased with that. There, look back over in Mark. In Mark chapter 15, verse 37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Look at John 10:15. Compare that with John 10:15, the Gospel of John 10:15. Gospel of John 10, verse 15, the Bible says here, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I what? Lay down my life for the sheep. The other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Dear friend, they did not kill our Savior. He laid his life down, a sacrifice for you and I. They didn't come. They didn't have the power in their own might, their own hands, their own ability to do this. This was something that was a must. And Jesus freely, lovingly, tenderly laid down his life, gave up the ghost, so that you and I might have eternal life. And the resurrection of the Lord is the guarantee of eternal life. The power of God there unto salvation there. And then verse 38, if you would. Go back over to Mark in verse 15, verse 38. This is amazing. They say that the veil with all of its curtains and blockages there was thicker than the book there. So see the book? It was thicker this way there. And as we read here, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. I mean, it was just ripped in two. Look over in Hebrews chapter 4. Well, what happened? What was that? It gave us direct access. It gave us direct access to the throne of God. There before, the high priest was the only one that could go up in there into that veil and get up in there. And they said that they'd tie a rope to his foot and put a bell on him just in case he died, fell down the bell, and they could drag him out. They were scared to enter. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. And verse number 16. No, verse number 14, Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 14. 14. Did I say that right? Yeah, 14. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This was another thing, to a picture of as the rent veil. I'm sure this did not help the scribes and the Pharisees and the high priests. The whole thing they was trying to do was keep their religion intact. Their religion was intact because they were the only ones who could go in. You remember years and years ago, they used to chain this old book to pulpits. They got a little liberal, and they changed it to a pulpit, and it was there, and it had stayed. But you didn't need to read it. The pastor, the apostle, the priest, we would tell you what it says. And you just have to trust and believe us. And so the veil was rent as a picture to show that the religious systems of this world are not capable. There's one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. And he rent it open, let it open, and there was the picture of the throne of God and the Ark of the Covenant. And as anybody has the ability and access to approach the throne now, how? Through Jesus Christ. Through our high priest and our advocate. Look in Hebrews, if you would, again, over Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 19. Hebrews 10 and verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. Look on down to verse number 20. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated up for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Man, what an amazing thing that just took place. In the midst of a horrible situation, a shameful situation, a time where God turned his back and forsook the Son when he gave up the ghost. And boy, when that sacrifice of the death was complete of the Lamb of God, God rent the veil. I'm telling you, that must have been an exciting moment for all of heaven. I mean, it's an exciting thing for all of it. It wasn't exciting for the religious systems. It's not exciting, you know, whenever you have to depend upon a man to tell you what God wants for you. You know, the Bible teaches us that we all, as saved people, and the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, we have an unction from on high. You've been anointed by God. You have the teacher himself, Jesus Christ, said, I must go, that the Holy One, the Comforter could come, that he may teach you all things. I mean, it's an amazing thing to know that the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, and if you'll yield yourself to him, you'll study that book, man, he will teach you so rich the grace of God. And this is amazing what just took place. He rent the veil. It does away with a lot of religious works, don't it? But we still have it going on today, even in our own circles. Religion is something that that binds and holds and controls. Christ, the Son of God, brings freedom, sets us free. And we worship in spirit and in truth. The Spirit being the Holy Spirit of God living inside us. The Word of God being the truth. And we have our boundaries throughout the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that nowadays that we as individuals can run straight to the throne room of God. Look back over there at the final few verses that we read. And let's see in verse 39. Look at this. You remember I mentioned this centurion several times as we built up to here. This centurion was over the whole thing. It was kind of his job to oversee everything that was taking place there at the crucifixion, to make sure the thieves were crucified, make sure that the crucifixion took place. And when it would come time to they've suffered long enough, you know, he came and they're going to break the bones of the thieves, as we'll see that here in a little bit. And then they come to Jesus and he's already dead, and they take the spear and they shove it there. This is the one that's in charge of all that. He's in charge of all this. And look what he says. And the centurion, verse 39, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost. He said, truly, this was the Son of God. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and the less and Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him, ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Man, the testimony of this centurion. Flip over real quickly over to Luke chapter 23, and look at the account Luke gave of this same thing. It's the same passage, but it's just from a different angle. Luke chapter number 23 and verse 47. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 47. The Bible says in Luke 23, 47, now when the centurion saw that was what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Dear friends, I declare unto you today that there was two that was born again there around that cross. I tell you that, in my opinion, the thief, we know for sure, because Jesus said, today thou'll be in paradise with me. I believe this centurion also, in the midst of all this, realized the righteousness of God and realized that Jesus Christ was the righteous Lamb of God, and he glorified God there in that moment. Could I be wrong? I hope I'm not. I hope I'm not. If he didn't get saved here in witnessing and seeing everything take place, dear friends, surely I hope that down the road, somehow or another, that some gospel witness got to him, because this man's heart, a hardened centurion. I mean, you didn't become a centurion because you was, making slime up in the castle. You was a rough, tough hombre. You had done your business in the battlefields. And now here you're watching over crucifixions. No telling how many crucifixions he had watched over. And he realized. It's telling us it doesn't matter how far you are, a thief or a rough, tough soldier centurion, Jesus Christ can touch your heart and your life. He didn't come to seek to save the righteous, but those which were in need of a Savior. And there's a picture of two that truly needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us certainly do. And then as we close there in verses 40 and 41, we see this picture of these faithful women. You're going to notice something as we keep on reading next week or the week after, until we finish up this book. We're getting close. We only have one more chapter left here in the book of Mark. But isn't it amazing, dear friend, that one day heaven itself will reveal all that the godly women have done for Christ. I mean, it's amazing. They're the first ones, I mean, the last ones that we recognize. They're the last ones the scriptures, say was at the crucifixion. Guess who's the first ones to arrive at the tomb? Man, we're lagging. We got to catch up with these ladies. I mean, we got a lot of work to do. So, wow, yeah, it's been like that way for a long time. Remember the story there in the Old Testament about King David as he is out running away, and there was this one man came and talked bad about David. Guess who saved his life? Abigail, his wife. Isn't that amazing? Well, I thank God for my wife. I really do. I can get myself in a lot of trouble. But God has given us faithful ladies here at the church. When we see faithful ladies here, ladies, stay at it. Men, let's catch up. Get on our bicycles. Not our stationary bicycles, right, Brother Victor? We get on one that moves forward. Get on your spiritual bicycle. Move forward. Too many of us wasting too much time on our stationary bikes, our spiritual stationary bikes. Man, look at me. I'm busy. I'm sweating. Activity does not mean business for God. Does not. Father, we love you. We thank you for this night. We ask you, Lord, to bless. Bless the choirs that come to practice. Lord, those that are sick and ill in our church family, I pray you touch their bodies. Those who will be traveling this week, going back to their homes, I pray you be with them, protect them, keep them safe. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the study in the book of Mark. We ask you to continue to bless as we look at it. Give us wisdom, give us understanding. Help us to see things in the Bible that will be helpful to us in our day-to-day Christian walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.